All right. Good. Well, how many of you are thankful you're saved tonight? Would you say amen?
Amen.
Been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm thankful for what we've heard already, and we're grateful to God to be here. We're one of those crazy families that comes to Florida. You know how people are. Everybody in the north comes south for vacation, and everyone in the south goes north. That's how it works. That's how Americans are. They always think the grass is greener on the other side. But we're thankful to be here. My wife, Bethany, my three daughters, Emily, Leah, and Carly. And yes, I need a lot of prayer. I'm outvoted 4-1 at the house. But we do have a dog that's a boy, and so he's helping me hold the fort there. But we're thankful to be here with you, and God bless you. And also, it's a joy to see Brother Drake, Miss Drake. I had the privilege of working with him there in West Virginia, and he was the pastor of the church that I pastor now. And I met him in 2000, and a couple years later, he went back out into mission work, and I had the privilege to follow him. And what we tried to do since he left, I guess it's been about, it was 2002 when he left, we've been trying to do the same things that he taught us to do during his time here, and we thank God for it. That when he came to our church there in Lewisburg, it was down really just to a handful of people. I believe he could tell you more about the numbers, but there were about 14 people there on a Wednesday evening, and he just started preaching the gospel. We tried to go out and start bus ministries, reaching people for Jesus Christ, and God has blessed in a tremendous way, and we're thankful for that, and it's a joy to be able to spend the afternoon with them. And then also good to see Walter and his wife. God bless them. And it's just good to be in God's house, isn't it?
Amen.
May we stand together for the reading of God's Word. If you take your Bibles and turn to 1 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, not Corinthians, but Chronicles. And that is in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, if you'll take your Bible, and we'll turn there to the fourth chapter. And we'll read just a couple verses, and something that everybody in the building tonight is familiar with. You've heard this story, and I preached this message a couple Wednesday nights ago at our church for a couple Wednesday nights. I thought it'd be good to share the thoughts with you tonight, and I hope it'll be a blessing and a help to you. Every time we open up the Word of God, it's always helpful to us, isn't it? And while we look in the Word of God, we'll read verse 9 and verse 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9 and 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. And I'd like to take the next few moments, God being my helper, and speak to you on the prayer of Jabez, the prayer of Jabez. And I'm praying that at the conclusion of the message, when the last amen is said, that all of us as Christians and the members of the Landmark Baptist Church will pray this prayer. I believe it will change us and transform our life and transform the way we look at things if we learn the simple truth of those two verses that I just read. May we pray. Dear Lord, in Jesus' name, we pray that you'll bless the reading and the preaching of God's Word. That'll have your power, your touch upon it. Lord, I'm nothing. Lord, I pray that you do the work that you intend to do in the hearts and lives of people. Speak to hearts. Open our hearts and minds of understanding is our prayer and our petition this evening. We ask all these things in faith believing. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. As we look into this passage of Scripture, we see here is a man. Now, we find in the genealogies and this part of the Scripture, it's sometimes difficult to read this portion of Scriptures when it speaks about the genealogies, and of course that is of course in the Bible, so that the Lord is proving and without anybody mistaking that He truly was the Son of God, and He truly is who He said He would be, and it gives a detail. And then in the middle of this chapter, we find a man by the name of Jabez, and I want you to notice first of all the characteristics of Jabez. The characteristics of Jabez. Notice what God's Word says. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Think about this first characteristic. Now remember, this is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And the Bible says that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And he didn't say that about himself. His mother did not say that about her son, but the Lord Jesus Christ gave this to us in His Word. And what about this word honor? Oh, our society is crumbling all around us because of the lack of character in their life, lack of character in families' life, lack of doing what we say we will do. This word honor and being honorable. And remember, we lived in a society in yesteryear where a man, if he said he would do something, he would do it. But now we live in a society. And people will say anything to get ahead. They will cut your throat at work to get ahead. They will do everything they can to get ahead, to get that job promotion in front of you. And our society is lacking this one word in American society, this word honor. Honor. I thank God for those that defend our country with honor. I read stories of bravery and those that have laid down their life and paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country. We thank God for that. And when Planned Parenthood can get in our school system easier than a Purple Heart recipient, there's something wrong with our society. It's void of honor and character. And I love this story of Jabez. The Bible says he was a man of honor. A man of honor. Now, one of my newfound heroes in the Bible, I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts. I don't believe you could illustrate this truth any better than get what's given to us in the book of Acts and chapter 6. Recently on Father's Day, I preached on this man named Stephen, and I did not come up with this this title, but I read this title and I preached this title, A Man That Jesus Stood Up For. Stephen, a man that Jesus stood up for. Now, if in fact Jesus did stand up, and He did for Stephen, what was it in Stephen's life that made our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ stand up for him? One of the great characteristics, we don't have time to look at all of it tonight, but one of the characteristics of Stephen's life was that he was a man of a character, a man of honor. Notice what the Bible says in chapter number 6, verse number 3. And we'll just scroll through just a couple passages as we think about this word honor and being honorable, especially in the society that we live in today. First of all, the Bible says, you know the story, how they were choosing the first deacons. And we find in verse 3, the Bible says, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report. Men of honesty, men of honor. Then it goes on to say, and full of the Holy Ghost. If we're going to be families of honor, if we're going to be men of honor, if you're going to be a lady of honor, first of all, you've got to understand the need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Be not drunk with wine whereas in access, but be filled with the Spirit. And the Bible says this was true in the life of Stephen. There's not a lot of detail given about Jabez, but there's no doubt about it. If you read his prayer, you'll find that he was a man that was full of the Holy Spirit of God. It goes on to say, I love this verse in verse 5. The Bible says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. And here's what they noticed. Now, remember, his brethren sought him out in verse 3, and they said, here's a man that is full of the Holy Ghost. And then it pleased the whole multitude, and here's what You would say the church said about him. Here's what they said. They said, here is a man, and they chose Stephen, a man full of, what's that word, church? Faith. Full of faith. Full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. Man of honor. Full of faith. Have faith in God. Oh, how our society needs to see churches like Landmark Baptist Church that's full of faith, and churches like the church I pastor in West Virginia, a church that is full of faith in our world today, where churches are closing the doors in record numbers. Oh, how we need to have churches like this church that proclaims the truth and that lets people know that this is a church that's full of faith. I remember when we began building, we were in the building process for about four or five years. And I remember I spoke to the deacons the first time we approached them about building this building. First time I approached them about building this building. They were all for it. They were excited to do it. And I said to the men in that meeting, I said, there's one thing we're not going to do. They said, what is it, preacher? I said, we're not going to start something and then be building it years and years later. Boy, was that a bad statement to make. 5 years later, we just got in the building a little over a year ago. But I made the mistake of saying that. We better be careful what we say. But in the building process, we were building, and the preacher mentioned it a moment ago, but we had a man that was saved in our church that gave to our church a property, 11 acres of property across the road from Walmart. And it was a miracle to be able to relocate. We were only about 2 acres. We were able to relocate across the interstate to 11 acres of property. We started a Christian school and a daycare. We were able to expand and do the things that we believe God has given us to do there in Lewisburg. But God gave that to us. And so we're building this building, and everybody in our town, small town, that goes to Lowe's or to Bob Evans restaurants in that area, they would look up on the mountain and they would see this building. We had the front of it constructed, and people would look. And I had a man that showed up at our church, and he was sitting over on my right. And after the service was over, I was speaking to him, and thank you for coming. He had his family with him, and he's from Orlando area. And I said to him, I appreciate you coming. How did you find our church? And he made this statement to me I'll never forget. He said, I was over at Lowe's buying something. I looked across the way, and I saw this big building that somebody was building. And he said, here's what he said to me. He said, I wanted to come and find out who in this area believed in God. That's what he said. I want to find out who believes in God. He said, I've been going down. It happened to be a Southern Baptist church down the road, just happened to be. And he said, I've been going there, and I've been visiting. I kind of like the church, but when I drove by that big building, I wanted to find out who believed in God in this area. And may God help us always as Baptist people, for people to know this is a church. This is a preacher. This is a ministry. This is a bus worker. This is a choir member. This is a greeter that believes in God. God believes that God can do great and mighty things. And may we never lose that. If we do, we're finished. Stephen was a man full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost. And he preached a scathing message. If you'll take the time, we won't read it tonight. If you take the time to read chapter 7, I believe you'd be hard-pressed to find any message that was more scathing in the Bible than the message he preached. And then you find out that God's Word says, in that verse 51, and it goes on to say in verse 55, and being full of the Holy Ghost after he preached this message, the Bible says when he's about to be stoned, he's full of the Holy Ghost, and he looks up steadfastly into heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Verse 56, and he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing in the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And here's a man of integrity. Here's a man of honor. The Bible says this is how he died, and he knelt down. Knelt down in the midst of persecution. Here was a man that you could say about his life, nothing was going his way. He was stoned. Why was he stoned? It's my personal conviction he was stoned so that the gospel could be spread throughout all of the land at that time. When he was stoned, others feared for their life, and they fled away with the gospel of Jesus Christ in their heart and a testimony about Jesus Christ. And he was not only the first deacon, but the first martyr. And the reason God used him in such a mighty way for this short amount of time is because he was a man of full faith. He was a man that was full of the Holy Ghost of God. And he was a man, look what he says about those that were stoning him. And he said, "Lord, lay not this sin on their charge." He was a forgiving man. An honorable man is a man that forgives. Family that forgives. How many of you ever had someone do you wrong? Would you raise your hand? Good. Some of you, like me, could raise both hands, right? The truth of the matter is I've done people wrong. You've done people wrong. We've all been guilty of that. And whether we've taken care of it or not is between us and the Lord. The Bible says, he said, lay not this sin. And their charge. And look at the peace of a man of honor, man of integrity. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Fell asleep. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. He woke up in heaven. A man of honor. God's word says, if you'll turn back with me to the book of 1 Chronicles, that this man, Jabez, was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez. The second characteristic about his life is this. So he was a man that his mother said she bare him with sorrow. She bare him with sorrow. Now, it's evident as you read this passage of Scripture, there's a lot of speculation on what sorrow it really was. But it's not there in the Bible, but it's kind of my belief that it's probably, you notice the absence of a father. And his mother named him. And you see God's word. She said, I bear him with sorrow. Here's a man that had every excuse not to live a life of integrity, not to live a life of honor. But the Lord said, here's something you need to know about Jabez. He is more honorable than his brethren. His mother called his name Jabez because I bear him with sorrow. And God expects all of us that are here tonight, to live a life that's exemplary in view of everybody around us, and to live a life of conviction, a life of honor. In these last days, even though the sorrow of our world, when something terrible happens in our life, when the death of a loved one drives us to our knees, when the death of those around us, and we see people going to heaven. Before I left last week, we had three funerals in the church, and I heard from the preacher, you've had several funerals over the last few days also, and when we see death's hand in our church and among those that we know and we love, we must understand that God never intends for us to throw in the towel, but God intends for us to live honorable even in the midst of sorrow. Amen. Characteristics of Jabez's life as a man of honor. As a man that turned the sorrow into something that was beneficial for the cause of Christ. Number two, not only do we see the characteristics of Jabez, but number two, the petition of Jabez. Here is his prayer. Here's the prayer. Here's what you've heard in this passage of Scripture, no doubt time after time. And Jabez, notice his petition. And Jabez called on Buddha. And Jabez called on Muhammad. And Jabez called on the God of the Philistines, Ashtaroth. No! Jabez knew who to call on. Who do we call on this day that we live in? I mean, who do we turn to? What in the world is going on? I don't know what's going on. You don't know what's going on. I can't control what's going on. But there is a God in heaven that is seated at the right hand of the Father, and nothing takes him by surprise. May the Lord help us to see that there's a God in heaven, and he calls. Here it is, a beautiful passage of Scripture. It says, and in that 10th verse, he called on the God of Israel, the one true and living God. Amen. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The only way to heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, and through His precious blood, death, burial, and resurrection from the grave. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for Jesus. And Jabez said, I may not know much. I may have been born in sorrow, but I know who to pray to. It's the God of Israel. And may the Lord help us. Oh, what would happen if our churches like this church and other churches like this church would turn to the God of Israel and say, Lord God, help us. And Lord God, touch our land. We know what will heal our land. Jesus says to us clearly, my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. He said, then I'll hear from heaven. I'll heal their land. May God help us. Understand that the God of Israel, for revival is to be stirred at this church or the church that I pastor in West Virginia, it will be the God of Israel. Amen. That will do the work. He knew where to pray. He knew where his hope lies in the person of the Trinity, the Godhead. Notice not only he prays to the God of Israel, he knows this petition that he prays. He says, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. When's the last time you asked for God's blessing on your life? When I was studying for this message several weeks ago, I thought about my own life. I mean, really praying and asking God, dear Lord, I desire to have your blessing. Lord, bless my marriage. Lord, bless my family. Bless my children. Lord, bless the church family. Bless those in leadership. Bless those that will come and visit this Sunday. Lord, bless us. All without God's blessing, we can do nothing. And Jabez said, I understand who to go to in this petition, and I understand the only way for me to be blessed is to ask God for His blessing, asking the Lord for His blessing. The Lord can do great and mighty things in our life, and we have not because we ask not. Jabez said, I'm not going to be that foolish. I'm going to ask for God's blessing. Instead of belly aching, complaining about everything that's bad and terrible in our life, it's high time for all of us, beginning with a preacher in front of you, to say, Lord, I want and desire your blessing on my life. Amen. Your blessing. Yes. Number three, not only the blessing of God, but notice what it goes on to say. Thou wouldest bless me and do, and enlarge my coast. Enlarge my coast. Lord, I pray that you will open. How does the Lord enlarge our coast? That means literally to us the pushing out of boundaries in our life. The Lord says, I want to lead, guide, and direct your life. Now, life is not always about enlargement. Sometimes the Lord brings honor and glory to His work and to our life. In the matter of deduction, subtraction. But here Jabez says, Lord, I want you to enlarge my coast. How does the Lord enlarge our coast? First of all, I believe it begins in our heart. The Lord doing a work in our heart. The reason we don't obey the Lord like we should, like we could, is because we don't have the heart to. Let's be honest. It's all right here. When you ever met someone that has a heart to serve the Lord, you can tell immediately that person has a heart to serve Jesus. That person's full of the Holy Ghost of God. That person is right with God. That person's on fire for Jesus Christ. Teenagers, I enjoyed the song by this group, but being on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. There every moment where teenagers should be on fire for God, now's the time. Ask the Lord to enlarge your coast. There are moments in my own personal life, missed a great opportunity during my teenage years to serve God fully with my life. Don't let that be the story of your life. Serve the Lord now. There's a scope and a window of opportunity, and it'll be gone before you know it. I would take advantage of every activity. I would take advantage of every youth camp, and it'll go by so quickly, and everything will go by so quickly. And remember, in this moment of opportunity, the Lord wants to enlarge your coast. Amen. Every adult that's here, the Lord wants to enlarge our coast. Wants to push out the boundaries in our life. Help us do more for the Lord. More for Him. More. Do you desire to want to do more for the Lord? I'm not interested in pushing the cruise control button in my life. I hope you're not interested in that either. There's a moment of opportunity for every adult, young couple, for every senior citizen, everybody. There is a moment of opportunity that God gives us in life. And may we be as Jabez was, and may our prayer also be, Lord, enlarge my coast, enlarge my heart. Help me to have a heart to do. The most difficult thing that I must deal with in my own personal life is keeping my heart right. Keeping the heart. The heart. I was reading a book a couple weeks ago, and a man was speaking about how that a spiritual wellness in our life, and he had a lot to say about health things and that nature. But he said something I'll never forget. He said, when a person is backslidden on God, and really what he was saying, when a person doesn't have a heart to serve God like they once did, then he said, over a period of time, may not be immediately, but over a period of time, you'll be able to see it in their countenance. Be able to see it. And I would say this, I believe this with all my heart, that there in our life, it's much more detrimental to our health to be going against everything that God wants to do in our life. Everything God, you know God wants you to take this step. You know God wants you to go here. You know God wants you to go there. But you say, Lord, look, I've gone far enough. Lord, look what I've accomplished. Look what you allowed to accomplish in my life. Lord, this is far enough. And the Lord says, no, I brought you here to take you there. I'll bring you there and take you there. And the Lord always about advancing in the Christian life, advancing in our life, and may we never be satisfied until the day we hear the trumpet sound or to the day we're called home. May we never be satisfied with where we're at in our Christian life. May we always say, Lord, enlarge my coast. Help me to do more. Lord, help my heart to be stirred constantly for thee. Jabez said, Lord, I pray that you would bless me. Pray that you would enlarge my coast. Give me greater influence, open doors, open hearts to what I believe God's given me to do. And then he says, how now when God begins to bless, how's all this work? Jabez also says in this passage of Scripture, he said, enlarge my coast and that thine hand might be with me. He spoke of the presence of God. He said, Lord, there's no need for me to advance if I will take the credit for it. Lord, there's no need for me to go forward unless I realize the one that is helping me go forward. And he says, oh, that I would have the hand of God on my life. And would to God, many of us tonight would say, Lord Jesus, I want your hand on my life. Lord, I'm not satisfied with what my job can bring. I'm not satisfied with what I can work up in this world. But Lord Jesus, I'll settle for nothing but your hand upon my life. And Lord, enlarge my coast, but let me know that it is your hand that's moving me. The hand of God. Do you have God's hand on your life? We can have God's hand in our life. Amen. Said, Lord, thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil. What a powerful truth. Said, Lord, keep me from evil. All of us should hate the devil. He so desires to mar our life. He wants to do everything he can to discourage us. If he has his way, by the end of the summer, there's not one person in this building that he would not have sitting at home on Sunday night. Yeah. You say you've been saved long enough to say, well, I can fight the devil. You're about to lose when you think that. Because there is not one person, and all of us, even together, we're no match for the devil. The devil will do everything he can. He'll circle our life a million times to find one crack in our life, and he'll get in, and everything that's good and right, he'll try to destroy it in a moment of time. Jabez says, Lord, if you're going to enlarge my coast, Lord, if you're going to bless me indeed, Lord, if you're going to help me to be a man of honor, a man of integrity, then I know this, keep me from evil. Build a hedge of protection around me, Lord. It's like the Lord said about Job. Satan said, I can't get to him because of that hedge. And may we pray that hedge around our life. This is what Jabez was praying. Say, Lord, I pray that your hand would be with me and that you'd keep me from evil. And then I like what he says at the conclusion of that portion of Scripture. He says, not only thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Grieve me. We may have said something like this, that it may not grieve them. But he says this, I know that when I sin, it will grieve me. Grieve me. And I will be grieved. This is, of course, speaking not only about open sin, but sin that we know we harbor in our life that needs to be given to God. And he said, Lord, I don't want to go to bed with a guilty conscience. Lord, I don't want to be grieved because I'm not doing what you want me to do. Lord, help me not to be grieved. Help my conscience not to be seared. Please, Lord, help me. Always be in tune with the Lord. Always be in tune with God. And when the Lord speaks to you, respond to Him. If you can sit through church service after church service and never feel the need to come to the altar, you need to know that there's a God in heaven that's grieved when you don't respond to Him. Respond. And when the Lord speaks to you, be thankful. Be thankful that God speaks to you. Be thankful that there's a God in heaven that, although in this large church tonight, with all the people around, there's a God in heaven that opens this ceiling, and He opens it up, and you can see Him as He reaches down, and His finger touches your heart. And Jabez said, Lord, the God of heaven that's touching my heart, I don't want to be grieved in my conscience because of sin. Keep me from evil. Characteristics of Jabez. Petition of Jabez. Number three, the granting of Jabez. This is probably the greatest part of the verse. Notice what it says. You read it with me. And God granted him that which he requested. Pretty amazing, isn't it? He prays to the God of Israel. And he asks the Lord for all of these things we have not because we ask not. And what did the Lord say? The Lord could have said no. The Lord could have said wait. But the Lord said, no, Jabez, I'll grant you that request that you've asked for. What a God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. And the Lord is looking for a people all around me tonight. They'll say, Lord, I want your blessing on my life. Lord, I want my life to count for you. I want to have greater influence. Lord, I want you to keep me from evil, that I be not grieved. And the Lord will look down tonight. And if it's the same God that we serve, and it is, then the Lord can grant our request. Grant the request of your heart. Grant the request of my life. There's a Lord God in heaven that does not want to withhold any good and right thing. And He's ready. I wonder how many prayers Jesus wants to grant tonight. Not this week. It'll be good to pray all week. We should. Not about the prayers of last week. Oh, they've been great. But living in the promise of God, looking back and gleaning from the promises of God and the answered prayer in our life. But what about tonight? The Lord looking down and said, I want to grant that request. Things would be different, wouldn't they? Our life would be changed. Our hearts would be opened. Our scope of influence would be broadened. If we would pay special attention to the prayer of Jabez.